I'm going to say just a few minutes only on the question of self-sufficiency. I know I felt very fast indeed. My parents have told me this for many years. And somebody was saying that they couldn't get over the words last night. That was because I was trying to beat the cat. So I really am not trying to beat the cat now. And I can't slow down. In fact, the Lord has helped me to slow down over the years. I used to be twice as fast as I am. Just a word or two about what to do with our ambitions. A few moments on this. What to do with our ambitions. I'd like to draw your attention for a moment to 1 Chronicles.
And chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. This is hardly a talk, really. It's just a list of a few ideas about ambition. 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. These are the words we find here. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from harm, so that it might not hurt me." And God granted what he asked. Many, many times in the Bible, we come to a great list of names, a tremendous family tree, so-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so begat so-and-so, on it goes. And it seems a bit dull, but I often believe that the purpose of the Holy Spirit in giving us these great lists of names is that somewhere in that list, there's going to be a name that stands out. And that's why the Holy Spirit is intended to be like that. And in this great list, it is so-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so begat so-and-so, Jabez suddenly arrives on the scene. And we are told a bit about Jabez. And he stands out amongst the rather grey surroundings of all the rest of the family. We know nothing about Jabez, really and truly. We don't know anything about his job or his bank balance or his gifts or his family. But we know this, that he was more honorable than his brothers, verse 9. And his prayer seems to be the reason for this honor that God bestowed upon him. "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me and enlarge my border." I believe that Jabez was a man of ambition. He asked God to enlarge his scope and his border and his influence. And this is a scriptural prayer to pray. When we pray for ourselves, we are not being selfish. We do right to ask for great things from God. I wonder if you have ambition. I'm sure you have. If you have, hold it. That's my first tip. Hold what ambition you already have. Because Jabez had ambition. "Enlarge my borders, please, God." The desire to get to the top is ingrained in human nature. It's ingrained in the athlete who's going to get to the top. It's ingrained in the businessman. It's ingrained in the man of politics or entertainment, whatever the field might be. It's a neutral element, this ambition. It's a neutral thing. It all depends on what you do with it. Strong ambition can make tremendous sinners. It can also make the most wonderful saints. Ambition can create a Hitler. But it can also create a D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of the last century. So when William Shakespeare has one of his characters, is it? I forget who it is who says it now. "Cromwell, I charge thee, fling away ambition." It's not really very good advice to give people. Fling away ambition? What a terrible thing to do. What terrible advice. Hold what ambition you have. Secondly, develop it. Develop what ambition you have. Now, you'll find many hymns will do everything possible to discourage what ambition you have. There's a hymn that starts off with, "Oh, to be nothing, nothing." Isn't that miserable? That really is a most anemic piece of advice. "Oh, to be nothing." Surely it should have been, it would have made sense, but it said, "Oh, to be something for you, God." Develop what ambition you have. Don't stifle it. Let it be developed. We must discover our gifts as young folks. And as we discover them, so we can ask God whether he won't enlarge them and let them be used in his service. And with determination, under the power of God, it's amazing what can be achieved. Think of the story of the orator of old, Demosthenes. Now, Demosthenes, when he first got up in public to speak, he was hissed off the platform. It is pathetic, shambles of a speech. He stood crookedly, like I ought to stand. He lisped, he stammered. His voice could hardly be heard. It was ghastly, and he was hissed off. I would have forgiven Demosthenes for finishing his speaking career then and there, but he didn't. He said to himself, no, I'm going to persevere. I am going to become a first-rate speaker. So, he withdrew himself from public life. First thing he did was to shave half his head, and that made him such a spectacle that he was kept out of the invitation list for the next few months at least. And then he went all alone beside the Aegean Sea, and he would stand there, and he would practice speaking against the roar of the breaking of the waves, and gradually his voice got stronger. He spoke also with pebbles in his mouth to try and improve his stammer. He practiced speaking with a sword suspended over his shoulder to correct his crooked stance. And gradually, little by little, he got better. He put a tremendous amount of work into it. And the next time, the second time he spoke in public, this is what happened. His opponent spoke first of all, his rival. And when he'd finished speaking, everybody said, very, very good, very good. But when Demosthenes finished speaking, everybody said, well, let's go out and fight the enemy then. Tremendous impact that his speaking had. His speaking did things to people. Develop what ambition you already have so that we can be useful in God's service. It's a pity to be a Christian who is not being used in his service. Let's see to it that we are used. Let's see to it that if we have brains, that we apply our ambition towards using our brains. I know a fellow who some years ago qualified as a doctor. He was a Christian, and he was thinking towards missionary work. And one of the missionary societies said to him immediately, oh, do come out then. Come aboard with us. We can use your qualifications. Now you've qualified. But this man had ambition. He said to himself, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to improve my qualifications. And he took his fellowship. He then took his mastership. In fact, that was the last exam you can take in the medical world. The most difficult exam, they say, in the whole world to take is the mastership. He took it. And then he offered to a society. He went abroad with the highest qualifications he could possibly have had to use them in God's service. If you can take exams and pass them, not everybody can, but if you can, take them. If you can go to university, go to university. If you can. If you can't, God will have another plan for you. A young fellow came into my study a little while ago, and he said to me, I'm thinking of wondering about full-time work in the church and in Christianity. I said, well, that's very interesting. I said, Philip, have you been used at all yet? Have you been able to win other people? Well, he said, all my friends are in the church or at Crusaders. I said, well, now, stop to think again and see whether you can't begin now to be used before you start thinking of offering yourself for full-time work. I said, what do you want to do? Do you want to go abroad as a missionary? Oh, no, he said, that's far from my mind. Well, I said, were you thinking of becoming a preacher? Well, he said, I don't know. Well, I said, do you think you're a personal worker? I don't know. I said, what about university? You've got brains, go to university and see where God leads you from there. He didn't want to go to university because he was bone idle. He wanted to go into Christian work because he thought that would be easy. Christian work is very demanding. And if we have brains to be used and talents that can be used, let's develop them. Last thing I want to say about ambition is this. Hold it, develop it, thirdly, sanctify that ambition. This is what Jabez's prayer was, verse 10. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from harm, so that it should not hurt me. What is your capacity and mine? It's a good idea to think this through very carefully. There are some people here who have a gift for making money. Use that gift. It can be used in the kingdom of God. If God is calling you to be a businessman and to make pots and pots of money, then do it. For his glory, make money for the Lord. Always remembering that ambition can be spoiled and turned towards selfish ends only. How many present-day entertainers in the showbiz world are living lives that are far from God, but they've started as choir boys in the church. Sanctify what ambition you have. Saul's ambition. Think of Saul of Tarsus. A tremendously ambitious man. Pharisee of the Pharisees. A proud man. A learned man. And then he's converted on that Damascus road, and his ambition is still there. It's not taken away. She will then say to him, "Now look, Paul, I'm afraid you've got to set aside all those thoughts." "Oh, no. His ambition is converted." And from then on, he says, "To me to live is Christ." He says, "I press towards the mark." He says, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Have we ambition? If we have, let's hold that ambition. Don't throw it away. Secondly, develop it. Thirdly, sanctify it for the Master's use. Now, we'll close that part of the meeting.